This recording accompanies the Language B Standard Level Examination, Paper 2, Listening Comprehension, for English, November 2023.
Cet enregistrement accompagne l'examen de Langue B, Niveau Moyen, Épreuve 2, Compréhension Orale d'Anglais, novembre 2023.
Esta grabación acompaña el examen de lengua B, nivel medio, prueba 2, comprensión auditiva, de inglés, noviembre 2023.
The start and end of each audio text will be indicated by this sound.
Le début et la fin de chaque texte audio seront indiqués par ce son.
El inicio y el final de cada texto de audio se indicarán con este sonido.
The end of the examination will be indicated by this sound.
La fin de l'examen sera indiquée par ce son.
El final del examen se indicará con este sonido.
Text A. You now have 4 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear a radio presenter interview an environmental researcher, Asha. The interview is about dying trees.
So, Asha, tell us about the trees.
Well, they're called giant sequoias. They grow in California. And they can live for up to 3,300 years. And they are huge. Some can reach 90 meters into the sky.
Wow!
But they are dying, in a strange way.
What's strange about it?
They are dying from the top down.
Why?
Well, this is also strange. We thought giant sequoias could not be eaten by insects, particularly beetles, because of their chemical makeup. But we were wrong. This may be happening because they are weakened by drought and wildfire.
But eventually, old trees must die, right?
Yes, but giant sequoias today are dying at a faster rate, and they are becoming shorter.
That sounds bad. Let's hear more after the break. Welcome back to our discussion about dying trees. So, Asha, is the problem only with giant sequoias?
No, they are just one example from California. We reviewed 160 previous scientific studies and data, including some satellite photographs of different places.
What did you find out?
Our ongoing research tells us that between 1900 and 2015, the world lost one-third of its old forests. Also, we know death rates have doubled in the last four decades.
Are there other examples?
Although few are familiar with the issues in Mongolia, we all know about the bushfires in Australia in 2019. And most of us are aware of the problems in the Amazon.
What is happening in the Amazon?
Dry seasons now last longer and come more often. And rainfall has dropped by as much as a quarter. This is changing the forest. Trees that can grow fast are becoming more common.
Thank you, Asha.
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second and final time.
So, Asha, tell us about the trees.
Well, they're called giant sequoias. They grow in California. And they can live for up to 3,300 years. And they are huge. Some can reach 90 meters into the sky.
Wow!
But they are dying, in a strange way.
What's strange about it?
They are dying from the top down.
Why?
Well, this is also strange. We thought giant sequoias could not be eaten by insects, particularly beetles, because of their chemical makeup. But we were wrong. This may be happening because they are weakened by drought and wildfire.
But eventually, old trees must die, right?
Yes, but giant sequoias today are dying at a faster rate, and they are becoming shorter.
That sounds bad. Let's hear more after the break. Welcome back to our discussion about dying trees. So, Asha, is the problem only with giant sequoias?
No, they are just one example from California. We reviewed 160 previous scientific studies and data, including some satellite photographs of different places.
What did you find out?
Our ongoing research tells us that between 1900 and 2015, the world lost one-third of its old forests. Also, we know death rates have doubled in the last four decades.
Are there other examples?
Although few are familiar with the issues in Mongolia, we all know about the bushfires in Australia in 2019, and most of us are aware of the problems in the Amazon.
What is happening in the Amazon?
Dry seasons now last longer and come more often, and rainfall has dropped by as much as a quarter. This is changing the forest. Trees that can grow fast are becoming more common.
Thank you, Asha.
You now have 2 minutes to finish answering the questions. Text B. You now have 4 minutes to read the questions.
you are going to hear a news story about a girl who survived a rare heart surgery.
And now, the Health and Science News Bulletin. A British girl has recovered fully after spending 10 years with an extra heart. Yes, you heard that right. The girl had two hearts in her little body. When Hannah Clark was very young, the muscles of her own heart lacked the strength to pump blood around her body, so she urgently needed a new heart. But at that time, only a much smaller heart was available to be donated. This would not have been able to support Hannah's body on its own. Therefore, when she was two, her medical team decided that the two hearts would be attached to each other. Hannah's original heart would pump fresh blood as far as the new heart, which in turn would pump this fresh blood to the rest of the body. Hannah's surgery was a success. She generally lived a normal life, but of course, she had to take medications to help her body accept the new heart. We'll be back with more about Hannah's story shortly. Welcome back. Back to Hannah, now 10 years old. Hannah's health suddenly declined due to a new and different health problem. Fortunately, the same heart surgeons agreed to help. They reviewed Hannah's condition. They discovered, to their amazement, that her own heart had recovered fully. This meant that she no longer needed the second heart. Not only that, they also believed that it was the medication which Hannah was taking, rather than the donor heart, that was having a harmful effect on Hannah's body. Therefore, once again, the team took another brave decision to remove the donor heart. After the second surgery, Hannah stopped the medication and her own heart continued to function normally. She is now healthy and she looked happy at the press conference alongside the two surgeons who saved her life. The surgeons explained that Hannah's case was a breakthrough because it was evidence that weak hearts can recover. This tale of two hearts is one of the most amazing cases, and as scientists and heart surgeons continue to do research, more patients may be saved.
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second and final time.
And now the Health and Science News Bulletin. A British girl has recovered fully after spending 10 years with an extra heart. Yes, you heard that right. The girl had two hearts in her little body. When Hannah Clark was very young, the muscles of her own heart lacked the strength to pump blood around her body, so she urgently needed a new heart. But at that time, only a much smaller heart was available to be donated. This would not have been able to support Hannah's body on its own. Therefore, when she was two, her medical team decided that the two hearts would be attached to each other. Hannah's original heart would pump fresh blood as far as the new heart, which in turn would pump this fresh blood to the rest of the body. Hannah's surgery was a success. She generally lived a normal life, but of course, she had to take medications to help her body accept the new heart. We'll be back with more about Hannah's story shortly. Welcome back. Back to Hannah, now 10 years old. Hannah's health suddenly declined due to a new and different health problem. Fortunately, the same heart surgeons agreed to help. They reviewed Hannah's condition. They discovered, to their amazement, that her own heart had recovered fully. This meant that she no longer needed the second heart. Not only that, they also believed that it was the medication which Hannah was taking, rather than the donor heart, that was having a harmful effect on Hannah's body. Therefore, once again, the team took another brave decision to remove the donor heart. After the second surgery, Hannah stopped the medication and her own heart continued to function normally. She is now healthy and she looked happy at the press conference alongside the two surgeons who saved her life. The surgeons explained that Hannah's case was a breakthrough because it was evidence that weak hearts can recover. This tale of two hearts is one of the most amazing cases, and as scientists and heart surgeons continue to do research, more patients may be saved.
You now have 2 minutes to finish answering the questions. Text C. You now have 4 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear a conversation between two university students, Jenny and Richard, about their views on laws.
Hi, Jenny. Wow, lots of notes right there.
Yeah, I'm preparing for a speech, but I'm still brainstorming for ideas.
Let's see. What's the topic? Maybe I can help.
That would be great. The topic is still not final, but I'm thinking about laws and if they are necessary at all.
Interesting. But we need laws, Jenny, to set boundaries. Don't you think so?
Well, yes and no. We do need laws for complex matters, but humans shouldn't need laws for things that are common sense. That's what makes us human.
Nah. I think you're overestimating what humans can control using logic. We need laws for all matters. This is what makes us civilized.
If that is true, why hasn't the law stopped robberies? So laws on simple things would just be useless.
Well, laws for simple things would work as pointers for behavior. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong is that once there's a law for something silly, it's bound to be broken.
There's some truth in what you're saying, actually. Some people are tempted to do bizarre things just to break the law. Oh, hang on a minute. Let me check this message.
I think I'm going to be on your side, Richard. We do need laws for some people's behavior, like to stop you from checking your phone messages during a conversation.
Sorry. Back to your speech. I think humans need pointers. Think of something as silly as chewing gum. Do people know the mess it causes?
Sure they do.
Of course they do, but there's gum all over the place. So would you say we need a law to stop this?
Are you kidding? Is that even possible? I mean, would a law really make a difference?
Oh, yes. In Singapore, there was a ban on chewing gum for over 30 years, and people accepted it. No gum. But you will not like this, Jenny. If a person was caught selling gum, they would be fined up to $100,000. And yes, the law, and the fine especially, made a huge difference. I mean, even though chewing gum is no longer banned in Singapore today, you're unlikely to see anyone there doing this in public.
I doubt it was the law or the huge fine that made the difference. I prefer to think of humans as free beings who can make choices about their behavior. In fact, there is something better than laws called a nudge, which is when choices are presented in a way that encourages better actions rather than forcing particular options on people. Like those signs that say, "Thank you for recycling your shopping bags."
Oops, sorry, Jenny. I need to answer this.
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second and final time.
Hi, Jenny. Wow, lots of notes right there.
Yeah, I'm preparing for a speech, but I'm still brainstorming for ideas.
Let's see. What's the topic? Maybe I can help.
That would be great. The topic is still not final, but I'm thinking about laws and if they are necessary at all.
Interesting. But we need laws, Jenny, to set boundaries. Don't you think so?
Well, yes and no. We do need laws for complex matters, but humans shouldn't need laws for things that are common sense. That's what makes us human.
Nah. I think you're overestimating what humans can control using logic. We need laws for all matters. This is what makes us civilized.
If that is true, why hasn't the law stopped robberies? So laws on simple things would just be useless.
Well, laws for simple things would work as pointers for behavior. What's wrong with that?
What's wrong is that once there's a law for something silly, it's bound to be broken.
There's some truth in what you're saying, actually. Some people are tempted to do bizarre things just to break the law. Oh, hang on a minute. Let me check this message.
I think I'm going to be on your side, Richard. We do need laws for some people's behavior, like to stop you from checking your phone messages during a conversation.
Sorry. Back to your speech. I think humans need pointers. Think of something as silly as chewing gum. Do people know the mess it causes?
Sure they do.
Of course they do, but there's gum all over the place. So would you say we need a law to stop this?
Are you kidding? Is that even possible? I mean, would a law really make a difference?
Oh, yes. In Singapore, there was a ban on chewing gum for over 30 years, and people accepted it. No gum. But you will not like this, Jenny. If a person was caught selling gum, they would be fined up to $100,000. And yes, the law, and the fine especially, made a huge difference. I mean, even though chewing gum is no longer banned in Singapore today, you're unlikely to see anyone there doing this in public.
I doubt it was the law or the huge fine that made the difference. I prefer to think of humans as free beings who can make choices about their behavior. In fact, there is something better than laws called a nudge, which is when choices are presented in a way that encourages better actions rather than forcing particular options on people. Like those signs that say, "Thank you for recycling your shopping bags."
Oops, sorry, Jenny. I need to answer this.
You now have the rest of the time to finish answering the questions.